All right, so this is Dr. Jones, and I'm here this afternoon with Molly Hunt. And so I was hoping, Molly, we could start off our conversation today. If you could describe for the students sort of what your current position is by title, by who you work for, by your location.
Absolutely. Thank you. So my name is Molly Hunt, and I am the Health and Human Science Educator and County Extension Director for Purdue Extension in Delaware County. I also serve a statewide role as the District Director for an 11-county region. So Purdue Extension is part of the land-grant mission of Purdue University, and so we bring translational science to residents in all 92 counties.
Great. So my second question, sort of looking more specifically at you and your path to your current position, if you could take a few minutes to tell the students a little bit about your own personal journey to where you're at with your current position. That could be education, other professional work that you've done, sort of how did you get to the place where you're at now?
Yeah, well, so it's not a normal path at all, I think. So most people in extension used to go through either a consumer and family science degree, if they were a health and human sciences educator, or maybe ag education. And largely our educators, and back in the day they used to be called agents, had grown up in 4-H. And so they had been 10-year 4-H'ers, and this was a lifestyle they were familiar with. I was not a 10-year 4-H'er, and I did not live on a farm. I went to IU, and my major was in legal studies, and I double minored in criminal justice and comparative literature because I thought I was going to law school. And I did not go to law school. I traveled for a while, lived in Colorado, and at a certain point met my husband, who lived in the East Central Indiana region, and I was in the process of applying for law schools, and also applying for a master's of public administration. And I ended up going that route, got engaged, got married, got my master's of public administration from Ball State University. After that, I did a lot of social work type of stuff. I worked as a court-appointed special advocate in juvenile courts, and then I did home-based social work. And then I was expecting my first child, and I realized I no longer wanted to do home-based social work and be in houses with roaches and bedbugs and scary dogs and firearms. And so an opportunity came open to be a health and human sciences educator, and so I joined Purdue Extension almost 9 years ago. And since then, I've received my certification in public health from the National Board of Public Health Examiners. And I have a couple other certifications as well. I'm certified as a mental health first aid facilitator. I'm certified in facilitative leadership. And so a lot of other designations that I've received on the job to help support my expertise in the health and human sciences field.
You know, Molly, I think one of the things that I like most about your story and listening to how you're at where you're at now, and the few times that I've heard you speak with students, is that it's not what we would consider a traditional public health path, where you go to school to be in public health, and then you go to your master's program in public health, and then you end up finding your way to health education. And I have a class full of students this semester who are really from all across campus, lots of majors, lots of potential degree paths and professional interests. And I think that your path to where you're at now should be an interesting one for lots of the students who are saying, you know, I'm not intrinsically a health person at this point, but I may end up doing this kind of work. And I sort of feel like that's the path that you ended up kind of following.
Yeah, so certainly with my administrative roles right now and the COVID-19 pandemic, my background in public health and all the coursework that went into that for my public health certification have proved mighty handy. So you never know where these trainings and courses will help you at a certain point.
Yeah, great. So my next question, and I think you probably addressed this a little bit in the second question, but why did you personally choose to take on this current position? I know you'd mentioned a little bit about sort of your family and then also thinking about where your next path was, but any other insight you could provide on sort of your personal choice to take on this role?
Yeah, so when I was doing social work, when I was working with families in the juvenile court system, they were families that were either in a CHINS situation, which is a child in need of services. Those are oftentimes neglect cases, or a termination of parental rights case, which a parent's rights to their child are either being voluntary or involuntarily terminated. And so what I saw at that point was that there's only so much intervention can do at that point. And I really wanted to be on the preventative end. I wanted to be on the education end. Like, what could I be doing for families, for children, for our systems, from a policy, environmental, or systematic level, to improve the lives and livelihoods of the people in my community and in Indiana? And so, with Extension's mission of education, the opportunity just really aligned with that belief that, like, education makes a difference in all of our lives. And it's not just education that happens in a classroom. It's education that happens everywhere.
Yeah, that's great. We talked a little bit about the socio-ecological approach this semester before we parted ways, and I think that closely aligns with your interest. So my next question, what sort of work do you do in your role? Could you walk us through kind of a normal day? I know it differs based upon project or sort of what's going on in the world around you, but if you could give us a sense of the different work that you take on.
Yeah, so largely my role has been administrative, and I tell my kids when they ask me what I do, I go to meetings and I answer emails, but that's just been recently. So when I am out in the field, when I am doing health and human sciences education, it usually falls within one of the four buckets of food, family, money, or health. So we have a couple of things of what we call signature programs in Purdue Extension Health and Human Sciences, and I'll do a shameless plug to check out our website and our Facebook page to see those. But these signature programs are address needs throughout the entire state. So via needs assessment, we know that there are issues related to money management, financial literacy, heart disease, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, those sorts of things that are throughout the state of Indiana. So we've developed research or evidence-based programming to address those. And so we collect data on these programs statewide to see the impact that we're doing. So usually my programming falls in one of those. So right now, like, I'm looking at recording what we call Captain Cash, which is youth financial literacy for third graders. And it teaches earning, spending, saving and borrowing through like a character, and that character's name is Captain Cash. I also teach a program, Where Does Your Money Go? And it is a great program for any adult to participate in. I actually participated in it when I was a social work professional as a professional development opportunity. It was my first exposure to Extension. And then I also do a lot with chronic disease. So I teach programs like Be Heart Smart or Dying with Diabetes. Research shows us that repeated contacts with our participants help reinforce those ideas and behaviors. And so those come with like a cooking class and food demos and tastings, along with an educational and interactive component. So that's really fun. I also participate in a lot of coalitions on a day-to-day basis, and those are addressing those broader systems, policies, and looking to affect environmental change to have the biggest impact for all around those kind of spheres of food, family, money, and health.
Yeah, that's great. I think the students will appreciate the diversity in the different kinds of topics you instruct, relative to financial literacy all the way to the Dining with Diabetes classes. So it seems like every day can be a little bit different.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to mention our like human development component, which is that early childhood education, training professionals, parenting, and also the other end of the spectrum, aging. So I don't do a whole lot of that right now in this season, so I apologize for leaving it out.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you work as part of the Purdue Extension Services, and I know some of our students might be familiar with that if they've been a 4-H student especially. Others might know a little bit less about what that means. Could you tell us a little bit more about what that entails, at least in the context of the Purdue system?
So, like, give me a little bit more. Tell me more about what you want to hear.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that the students will extend what extension services are if they haven't necessarily been in 4-H.
Okay, so Cooperative Extension Service, again, is part of that land grant mission. And so extension is in all states. Some states have multiple extension services if they have a historically black college or on some of the native colleges. But every state has at least one extension service, and they have a land grant mission of bringing the research and the knowledge of the university to the people, and that's the component of translational science. So in Purdue Extension, we have four main program areas. We have 4-H Youth Development, which is largely our flagship. And if anybody is familiar with Extension, usually it's 4-H because they went to the county fair. They, you know, they showed a hog when they were a 4-H'er. But our 4-H Youth Development positions have really evolved into a year-long position. It's not just the county fair. We do youth development, STEM education, workforce development all year long in that field. We also have our ag and natural resources educators in all of our counties, and they address both commodity agriculture, which we largely see here in Indiana. So that would be your row crops of soybeans and corn. So we make sure that the soil is healthy. We talk about cover crops. We also, our ag educators address things like diversified food systems, how to organize farmers markets, and also they work with a great volunteer group called the Master Gardeners, and some people might be familiar with them as well. I'm Health and Human Sciences in Delaware County, which you're aware of, and then we also have another program area that's not in every single community, but that's our community development program, and they focus on civic engagement, leadership, entrepreneurism, business development, all those sorts of things that are not necessarily economic development, but are more like how to make a vibrant and thriving community. Purdue Extension, it is called the Cooperative Extension Service because it is a cooperation agreement between the county, the state, and the university. So we have a really interesting funding mechanism that on the backside for our business office is way complicated because we receive county funds for contractual services for our educators. Mm-hmm. We receive a state line item during the biennial budget, and then we also receive something called Smith-Weaver funds from the federal level. So it's kind of our three-legged stool of funding.
Yeah, that's great. I think for most of us, we don't recognize how much extension services really reach into our home communities. I mean, we see it, but we don't necessarily know it's part of cooperative work or extension work. So I think that's so interesting how many services they provide that they aren't always given credit for within communities.
We're not necessarily on the forefront of it, but as long as the good work is happening, then our job has been done.
Yeah, that's great. So my next question, what do you enjoy the most about the work that you do every day? If you could come up with maybe a couple of things about your job that you just really enjoy or that make it something that you like to do.
That is really easy. I love the people. So I'm now in a spot where I'm helping with some hiring, and people are like, what do I need to be successful at Extension? You got to love people. If you're a data person, if you love to sit in an office, this isn't the career role for you. I love all the people I get to come in contact with on a daily basis. I love the participants in my programs. I love connecting with people it's such a diverse group of people that I get to interact with on a day-to-day basis. You know, I've been able to do an interview with Dr. Bird from IU Help. I work with participants in the Muncie Housing Authority. I sit on coalitions with people from just like a really diverse background who are all working towards the same goal. So, and obviously I have amazing coworkers in Extension. So for me, it's definitely the people.
The people. That's great. So on the flip side, are there any parts of your job that you find difficult or that make it less desirable at times?
Yeah, so it's the people.
The same.
Right? So there are difficult people you deal with, too. Different agendas. Sometimes, people are competing for the same funding or the same, you know, if you get into, like, a crowded space, like I find in Delaware County, like, there are a lot of, there's a lot of service in that, like, early childhood, human development area. So that's not an area I focus in because that's kind of, that space is filled in our community. Where in, when I served in Blackford County and Jay County, that was something that I really leaned into because that was a need within the community. You know, I think another thing is that that's, you know, a struggle I think is funding. With all government funding, you always wish there was more. Mm-hmm. There's always grants and there are other funding opportunities, but then that takes away from the actual work of serving the people that we've been charged with serving. So it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
That, and there's never enough time to do all the things you want to do.
No, of course. I feel like that's the case with lots of jobs.
Yeah.
So you mentioned sort of in terms of skills that you think are necessary for succeeding in your role, a love for people and an ability to interact with people. Do you have any other skills that you think would be useful for a student who wants to engage in this kind of work?
Yeah, communication is key. So I think communication is key for any person entering the workforce. You need to be a good oral communicator and written communicator because that, I mean, it's just communication is key and extension in everything. So communication, enjoying working with people, adhering to the science, right? So the work that we do is scientific. It is evidence-based. It is research-based. When I administer a program like Dining with Diabetes, I administer a pre-test and a post-test. And what I'm measuring in doing that is knowledge gained and intended behavioral change. Did I make a difference? And so I have to adhere to the IRB guidelines with that and make sure that I'm administering that program per protocol to, you know, just respect the integrity of the program. So that is not a straight answer, but that's just a lot of things going through my mind right now.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a wide variety. Communication is important, but we're talking in a few weeks about how to read a research article, and I think that could be useful in light of what you just mentioned as well. So, go ahead. Is there anything else?
No, I was just, I there are a lot of things out there, I think, in the health field, and it just started pouring raining where I am, so hopefully you don't get any feedback.
Oh, no, no, you're good.
So there's a lot of misinformation in the health field. As somebody, like a professional who works in it, and I see all, you know, these quote-unquote nutritionists sharing things like keto diets and different things. And so you have to make sure that what you're sharing with your participants and clients is, you know, evidence-based and research-tested and just adhering to that highest level, which we uphold within the Cooperative Extension Service. And so I think anybody that enters the health field can, or as a student, is seeing that right now with the misinformation that's put out there.
Right. I was looking through some COVID information this morning, and it's crazy to see how much we have to debunk myths and bring in accurate information for people, for sure.
Yeah.
So my last few questions are sort of broad in scope, sort of getting your opinion, considering the interactions you have and the work that you do. Thinking about the work that's most closely related to health education, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that face health educators today in the work that we do? I think we probably alluded to them a little bit more previously, but sort of problems you think for those who might engage in your line of work eventually?
So for extension, our participation in our programs is voluntary. So we cannot actually incentivize participation in our programs because then that would, you know, might skew research. And so, you know, for me, it's getting an audience. I came to extension and I remember thinking like, oh, people are going to be banging down my door wanting this amazing information from Purdue. Like, I'm not going to be able to keep up with it. But what I found is I had to go out and like, sell myself first. Like, I'm a trusted partner within the community. Like, I had to initially build that capacity with the people in the community and those partners who could refer people with me. And then I had to build capacity with the participants. And so I think getting that participation, because sometimes the people that need the information the most, and like, as I'm speaking about it in my mind, it's, you know, maybe that health information, nutrition information, financial well-being information, or even mental health information, they might not think that they need it. And so there are certain, you know, times where that's not necessarily mandated, but maybe your doctor refers you to a program, or you're collaborating with a hospital on something, or people are receiving a break on their insurance or a contribution for their HSA for participating. But largely for me, it's the audience. It's getting the people that need the knowledge to attend.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a challenge in the system that we're in today where, you know, competing schedules and at least the economy as it's going to fare out in the context of COVID. I think it's going to present some interesting challenges for getting individuals to want to be a part of these kinds of programs.
Yeah, so we, prior to COVID, our the name of the game for Extension was face-to-face. Face-to-face instruction, face-to-face administration, and that was the only way that our pre- and post-test type of IRB protocols were acceptable. And so with COVID, we've had to, I mean, in a matter of days, look to move everything online. So it'll be interesting once this, we're all able to be back together face-to-face, is what that dynamic of in online or social media presence or instruction is going to look like.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are thinking that there's going to be an increased need and an increased demand for social media and electronic virtual communication. I think people are going to get used to doing it this way and almost prefer it in some cases. I think we're due to see some changes. So my next question, do you think the need for health educators or even those who are in your field or in your position within the coming years will increase or will stay the same? And if you could give some justification, do you think your job's growing? Is it changing?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. So I would have said 4 weeks ago that it was growing. But when I think back to the last recession, some of those positions that were cut in hospitals at the forefront were some of those outreach positions. But that's not all positions. Those were just hospital-based. I think the need is going to continue to grow. I think our data as far as obesity, inactivity, sodium consumption, reported poor mental health days, our financial insecurity, lack of adequate parenting information. I think all of those needs are continuing to grow.
Yeah, I think the call for more health education as our population changes, at least for most of us, is going to lead to some increased opportunities for position, which is promising. So,
yeah.
So my last question for you, and you can sort of take this in whatever direction you want, but do you have any other suggestions or advice for students who are in health education? It could be related to schooling or involvement in volunteers or extracurricular activities, preparing for life after graduation, sort of any other items that you might suggest that we haven't covered already.
Well, I'm thinking you already suggest this in your class, but I would really think people need to get out there, shadow, assist people doing health education to see if this is what you want to do with your career, and really be involved in maybe the whole process of some of that health education to see what goes in on the backside of that work, the contacts and the prepping and the material development. I think, you know, just to make sure that this is what you want to do. As somebody who's now doing something that they never had thought that they were going to do, to really get out there and see what it looks like in the field.
Yeah, I think that's great advice and really something we try to encourage students to do as part of this class. Well, Molly, that's it. In terms of my questions, do you have anything else that you'd like to add or share with the students?
No, thank you so much for this opportunity to come to you via recording, and I hope everybody is well, and hopefully next year at this time I'll be able to come and meet with you guys face-to-face.
Great. All right, I'm going to shut off the recording here.